start the show. Rhythms high and rhythms low. Feel the vibe, let it flow. Bongo boys, here we go. Tapping drums fast and slow. The heartbeat's thumping in a row. Energy starts to grow. Bongo boys, steal the show.
Hey, welcome to Bongo Boys podcast number 2. Here with my co-host Josh, I'm Sandman. How you been, Josh?
I've been good. Just mostly hanging out. Had my Unbounded session last night and just been having a good time. What about yourself?
Just been up to the same old hobbies, playing video games and collecting Pokemon cards, which we'll get to it later in the podcast. But going back to your Unbounded, we had a brief hiatus, but we're going to kind of go through the most recent playthrough of Unbounded. So for those that were tuning in for that, Josh is going to catch the rest on the most recent one.
Yeah, we may have had a brief pause on recording, but Unbounded did not get paused. So I think
Unbounded, you can bound it.
Correct. I think I can't remember where we left off last time, but we've pretty much completed an entire arc since then. Our party has gone off to the Feywilds, which is a separate plane of existence where a lot of your elven fairy-esque creatures exist, as well as the mushroom people and other fantastical things, essentially, that don't already exist in the prime plane, as it's called. And we have just about finished that with one of our party members essentially being lined up to become the bridge between worlds. So it's been an interesting adventure of fighting those called the Iron Men, which are people who essentially come in to capture people of the Feywilds and do something to them. I don't know what it is. To be honest, the other group knows, or the rest of the group knows, because they've been in the party longer. I'm a bit of a newer addition, but, you know, they're ominous nonetheless. And my boy Yerrick has also had his own run-ins with the Iron Men as they've attempted to do as humans do, which is obtain the fossils of dinosaurs and everything around them in order to get fuel.
Of course.
Which, as you know, the Green Finger, aka Big Tree Man who loves the forest, not too fond of that. so we laid the smack down
on there.
Yeah, we laid the smack down on them a good bit. Seems like we're being set up to possibly contend with some people of the Bygones, which are essentially like this world's equivalent of I can't think of the word now. It's gone. I can't think of the word at all. It's just gone.
Okay. Let bygones be bygones, you know?
Yeah, pretty much. They're the Eldritch. That's the word. I found it. They're the Eldritch beings. So it seems like we're about to go up against some more Eldritch stuff, which my character, the Green Finger, may or may not have his own ties to. Yeah. So it's been a lot of fun. I now have 2 dogs instead of a big sentinel golem that hang out with my boy, and haven't really been able to use them too much yet, given the nature of combat, but they're going to be pretty interesting. But that's pretty much it for the time being. It's been a lot of RP, which is going to be obnoxious to explain and so on. But we have made our way through the Feywilds. We're about to make one of our characters bridge to both worlds. That, when that finally happens, will be intense, I'm sure. So it's been a good time.
Okay. So sounds like you've been having some fun kind of getting through and learning RP of kind of being in all of this, which is an art, but if you don't kind of get through it, you don't like progress and getting through your characters, honing them, really feeling what your character would feel like kind of helps you say things that they might say and talk like they talk.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, apparently your character is Bane.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it's just like the old man voice. Like, Bane sounds more like Bane when you cup your. But if you don't do that, it doesn't have the reverb, and it's mostly just an old man hanging out. He talks real slow. They just tell you stories that don't matter. It's great. He
Isn't
just.
that what old people do?
Yeah.
Tell us stories that don't matter. No
What,
offense to
honestly,
old people.
what I do, to be honest, to like. I just do the same thing. I just sit there and talk like an old man and have a good time.
Yeah.
And mostly annoy everybody
I
else.
pee for you.
True.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds cool. I'm glad you're having a good time and hope that we get more stories and updates from your Unbounded sessions. And we can keep our viewers a little more updated on more recent sessions so they don't
Yeah,
miss some of the fun stuff. I'm sure there's a lot of fun stuff we might have missed out on.
oh yeah, the next few are going to be a lot more intense, I expect. So those will be more fun to kind of catch up on rather than trying to remember all of the things over the past few months.
Yeah, once you immerse yourself, sometimes you just get lost in whatever's going on, and there's so much that happens that it's hard to keep track of. But speaking of keeping track of, let's keep track of how North America's doing and the LTA, which for people that don't know is the new NALCS, combined with the South American teams. Is that right?
Yeah, it's with the CBLOL. So now it's LTA North and LTA South, which I mean, so far, 100 Thieves, surprising people. And also, as of the series yesterday, not surprising people, as far as I'm concerned, which is to say, almost losing both games, but somehow winning them. Thank you, Quid the Goat. as well as, I think FlyQuest pulled it out yesterday. And then we had C9 earlier this morning has won, and then the TL game against Issuers is going on right now. So far we're set up for none of the LTA South teams to win anything. So far they haven't won a single game. I
Well,
can't speak to the current game.
North American teams just have a lot of superstars in their rosters, some imported, and LTS out players are trying to keep up with some of these pros that have been in the game for a long time. But hopefully they kind of get used to it, kind of feel out the strategies. This is the first time this has happened, the first season of this whole organization, division, whatever you want to call it. So hopefully they kind of figure out what they want to do. Maybe they'll bring some spice, and that's how you want to beat the NA teams, because sometimes the NA teams get surprised and they don't know what to do. And sometimes they surprise us by showing us what they don't know. As a 100 Thieves fan, I'm sure you're aware of that.
Oh, bro,
It's full of surprises.
their existence is just a surprise. I don't think they know when they're going in. So, until they know, and then they're going, and whether they're inting or not, it's crazy. But I mean, so far, or to be fair to the South teams, I feel like they've been putting up. It's the same, really. It's the same old story as with any of the what you might have considered minor regions. Is their early game and their mechanics are solid. Their mid to late game shot calling and decision making, not so solid. I mean, because that's what happened in both the 100 Thieves games. Like, I can't remember which team it was, but they were keeping up well enough, fighting back pretty hard. I think it was Pain, unless it was the FlyQuest series. But they were almost beating 100 Thieves early game, and then it could just like would press Yone R and win. In team fights around Dragon and Baron, and then that just kept snowballing into better and better wins. So it's just like they can hopefully the idea is, we're bringing in the South for viewership, and maybe we can help build up the South's ability to play the game mid to late game a little bit. Not that we're the best in the world by any means, certainly not. But balance both of those out, make it more competitive and more interesting. And I assume that's the idea behind the merger in the first place.
Yeah, it's just so both regions can benefit from a little more competition, because sometimes playing in the same region, you can get a little stale, and you kind of know the people, you know what their weaknesses where their strengths are, but when you're playing people that you haven't played against previously, sometimes you have to pull out some stuff, from your box that's been sitting under the bed of strategies, and you kind of have to change everything you knew about the game and bring new and fresh strategies to the game.
Yeah, definitely. So we'll see. So far, like I said, looking like it's just going to be the North against the North for the rest of it. But hopefully the South, this is the first split, and this split I think is the least relevant split of the three. It's kind of like the fun kickoff tournament for every region. So I think this being an opportunity for teams North or South, regardless, to just take away some information and have time to adjust to whatever their new team dynamic is. I think it's not the end of end all be all. If people don't win here, it's more of a matter of, okay, you've now had time to work together. Where do we go from here?
And the good thing is that, a lot of these teams have a pretty big, significant, fan following. Like, I remember when Jose Dioto, who's from that region, came to play in the LCS. He had a lot of fans watching. Like, a lot of the Brazilian fans especially, they have a big following and they love watching all these players. So hopefully with fan, moral support and kind of pushing them on, egging them on to kind of improve their gameplay and their win rates, they kind of get on par with the American teams, and then the American teams and the South American and North American teams can show up at Worlds, which they're known to kind of have moments of brief magic and then kind of just flicker out at the end.
Boom is all I have to say about that.
Kaboom! The kaboom, exactly like the 250 Mythic Essence special that people are paying for it. But if that's your prerogative, sure. If you want to spend 250 essence on kaboom, kabooming the North Americans, sure. You can do that.
Thing, yeah, totally. Nothing wrong with that, I suppose.
But oh God, sorry.
I was just saying, otherwise, I mean, I haven't watched too much LPL LCK because, that time doesn't quite work for me. LEC is proceeding largely as normal, other than Fnatic maybe actually will continue to show up in the playoffs instead of doing well in regular season and then sprinting it in playoffs. And then Giant X has actually looked really solid with Jackies, and I can't remember who else is on that roster, but they've been looking really good.
Yeah, it's
At least for a
closer,
team
right?
that's. Yes, my boy Closer. They've actually been looking pretty solid. Maybe top four if they can pull it out over these next weekend or two. But we'll see.
Yeah, and I know we've talked previously, we want these new, not new teams, but somebody else to win for once, because G2 has been kind of very dominant, even though they might not be super powerhouses at Worlds. They've been dominating the LEC. Even when people think they're going to lose, somehow they just go and beat the teams for
Yeah,
a
that or
reason
Mad Lions,
there.
comes in and wins and then it sprints it at international competition. So, but
That would
we
be
support
a
Mad
great
Lions
story.
now.
Yeah,
And in
Kojojo,
fact, I
right?
want Mad Lions to win. Yeah, because just to show NA greater than you, right? If JoJo wins.
Yeah, maybe C9 will regret their decision to let go of JoJo and he wins Worlds and it's be like, that's what happens when you let JoJo go. Even if he needed to go to the bathroom a lot, he maybe this time he can win Worlds. I hope they
I
have a
think
lot of memories for him.
if he wins Worlds, I don't think anyone's going to regret him going over there. I think it's like that would be flash in the pan. Magic must have happened of some description. I don't expect any Western team to win Worlds anytime soon unless something crazy happens. Though I will say the meta changes might help them a bit because I think the meta changes make the game like. There's a lot more going on, but I think it makes it more structured and easier to like know what direction you're going in and how to play. So that might help, but I don't know how much because I think usually, again, our bigger issue is mid. And I think a lot of the
Well,
structure changes are early game.
so I was gonna kind of touch on that since you mentioned it. Like, we have a new mob, if people don't know, like Otacon, which has kind of changed the early game aspect of the game. So you kind of do have to play a little more aggressive, try to get objectives more often so you can get that Otacon buff. Would you mind kind of explaining what that is for people that don't know?
Yeah, for sure. Actually, there's two big buff-esque changes that came out because there's Otacon and then there's Feats of Strength, right? So with Feats of Strength, which I think is the most early game focused one, unfortunately slightly less so than it was on first release, you have three different objective types. You have kills, you have neutral objectives, and then you have a tower. And so the first to get two of the three things, which for kills it's three kills, will give you that feat. A feat of warfare, I think, and then for neutral objectives, you have to get three neutral objective kills, and then for tower, you just have to kill one tower, and whoever wins two of those of the three gets access to essentially boot upgrades for each type of boot. I think those were probably a bit overhyped by the general public going into the season. I don't think those boot upgrades, for the most part, are very good. Other than I think 50s are silly, because movement speed is movement speed. And then Otacon is essentially another neutral objective that spawns around the time, or a little bit before, I think, when Baron used to spawn, which Baron has now been pushed back. And there are two forms of Otacon depending on how many kills have been have happened in the game, essentially. The lesser kills one is the one that has probably upset the most people and seemed the most broken in professional play, because it only shows up in profe- or no, it doesn't only show up. It has been pretty much the only Otacon to show up in professional play, which essentially gives everyone on your team a GA, except the GA respawns you back in base, and now after being nerfed, it's like after 15 seconds. And anyone who killed, when you could die, you only give 200 gold as opposed to the normal 100 with, and you don't give bounties. On top of that, the Otacon is a little bit difficult to fight because it does a lot of armor pen shredding, and actually does a decent amount of damage and takes a decent amount of time to kill. It's a pretty beefy boy. And then the other version of Otacon is, to me, I actually think if people saw it more, I think it is the one that might matter more, which is essentially it. I think it doubles all effect of any dragons or the flowers that now spawn due to Otacon, which give you adaptive force, as well as any other buff you get, basically, that is not from items but from neutral objectives. It doubles those benefits, essentially. I think that is insane because that's a full game long impact, whereas the GA buff essentially only lasts for the one time and only for, like, I think it's like 3 minutes or something like that, thereabouts. So if you don't use that within 3 minutes, the only benefit you have going forward is you get an extra like 5 gold on kill, I think, is the only like long lasting benefit of that. But we pretty much only see the Voracious Otacon, which is the GA one, which admittedly, especially in its original form, was a bit of a nightmare because, I mean, teams would get it and then just run it down because there was no consequence, because originally you would almost recall immediately. Get, like, the other team would only get like 100 gold. So as long as you killed one or two people, if you ran it down and all five of you died, it didn't matter because two of you probably had TP, and if the rest of you either died or didn't die, you're already back out on the map getting whatever objective. Like, Baron was usually the one.
And then if you kill a couple of their people, then you have the man advantage and you can go fight for the objective all over again.
Yep,
And
exactly. Like,
enemy
you
team
would.
has to kind of play with people down.
Yep, you just force it to force the fight with them and hope you kill one or two of them because you know it's of basically no consequence to you. Because by that point in the game, it's 20, 30 seconds before people are respawning. And all your people come up within five, basically, and get back out on the map.
Yeah, it's definitely one that people try to get. You know, Otacon is one of the ones that you want to kind of focus on, but like you said, it is kind of risky. The AoE damage, once it comes out, can even shred tanks down really fast, and that can open up an opportunity for the enemy team to kind of take you down and then take the buff.
Especially since it does like a Black Cleaver-esque pen, it means any team fight around that, if you're the one who started it, the enemy coming at you is going to have an easier time killing your tanks and the rest of your team. So it's like you can just get absolutely blasted if you're not careful or kiting the camp properly. Because I believe there is a way to move around it and keep dropping those stacks so it's not actually building up that much pen on you.
Yeah, so I'm sure kind of the faster pace of things that, because people want to get these feats, especially in pros, like, pro gaming, they want to get these feats of strength, get Otacon, and fight for these objectives whenever they come up. And which means we're going to see a lot more fighting, which for the watching experience is a lot more fun, and can kind of be a weakness to the slower paced teams. They have to kind of adapt to this faster pace of games, because if they wait for too long, they might just lose on a lot of these things. So I'm sure a lot of these teams are going to adjust their strategies. And we also had a release of the new champion, Mel from Arcane. If people haven't played the game but have watched the show, she's one of the premier characters and one of the favorites that came out of the second season as well.
For some,
And
maybe.
what was that?
I said for some, maybe I'm a Mel
Okay.
hater, as well as Jace.
But what Josh isn't saying is that he does not like her in the show, but he loves her in the game. He absolutely
Yes.
loves her.
Begrudgingly, yes.
Yeah.
Turns out you create another vaguely artillery mage champion, and I'm happy.
Yeah, and she's a big no you button that she can use every 20 seconds.
Yeah, which, I mean, who doesn't love that? Like, just having a no you button,
Yeah.
anyone would love that. There's a reason
Yeah.
people like playing Yasuo or Fiora or Tamira.
Yeah, like
Except her no you says not just no you, but no you, and actually throws the
I
ability
know. No,
back
you. I
instead
don't
of
have to
blocking.
direct it.
Yeah.
Oh, fizzled? Nope. Take it back. Take it back. Send that fish back to the ocean.
Or, well, that shark can eat you instead. But yeah, she's a lot of fun. I like her a lot. I do think she's a little broken, and I don't think it's the no you button that makes her broken, actually, which is surprising because that's what I was expecting.
Yeah.
But it turns out
Is
giving
it
her an
Razor
execute,
Assassin?
oh yeah, no, it's the execute, right? Like, just having an execute that can be triggered on anything, period, end of conversation, is a little silly. I mean, they gave it to Smolder after 225 stacks, right? But she just has it level one. No questions asked. Well, I will admit that does make farming with her very nice. But as far as, I don't know, it's just a little silly. I think I'd rather her just not have the execute and just double down more into what her abilities actually do. But I think their reasoning behind it was they wanted new players to be able to pick her up pretty easily. And I will say she's an incredibly straightforward champion. I don't think, other than reaction time and just like hands diff, I don't think there's a lot to learn on her. It's just like you literally have a point and click barrage of damage on your Q. You have a big circle you throw out that either slows or snares people. And then you have a someone's throwing an ability at me, press the button and say, no, you take this now. And then an alt that just says, anyone who I have hit in the past, like however many, 3 seconds maybe, take extra damage based on how many stacks I put on you of my passive.
And then you execute them if they get low enough.
Yep, which is not ideal. I mean, as the Mel, ideal. As anyone else in the game, probably not so much.
Yeah, I mean, if you're playing Mel, which is why she has a very high ban rate right now, and a lot of games get, she's like the first guaranteed ban in games. Because a lot
Yeah,
of people
pretty much.
don't want to deal with the no use. Especially as we noticed in our recent games that we played, when you use Misfortune ulti, it gets reflected and can kill your teammates, which I'm not saying was completely my fault, but it was. But I
I mean,
apologize
it's okay.
profusely.
That was an ARAM, and I also definitely Jhin ult killed somebody too with four shot. I like shot at a Mel and it bounced off and you shot somebody else instead who was standing between me and the Mel and they just exploded. So you're
Yeah,
not alone.
that's Mel's. That is on Mel. It's not on us. We're just trying to, fight for
Well,
our
it's
team,
on
and she has to know you.
my teammates for not burning her W sooner, is my response.
You know what? They deserved it. The fourth shot,
That's what
fourth
I'm
shot,
saying.
and the fourth ulti. It's on them. It's a lesson learned to how to play against Mel. And I hope they learned
exactly. Exactly. They should have forced her to use it sooner so that I could fire the last bullet, obviously.
Obviously. Well, yeah, she is a fun champion, and I hope they come up with more fun champions and more fresh ideas and kind of move away from the dashy dash champions that they have been doing. So I do appreciate them not giving her a dash, because I think I would have uninstalled the game, which I contemplate every day anyways, but this definitely would have put me further.
Yeah, fair enough. That is a good point. I didn't even think about that. That she just has no mobility. So she's just hanging out.
Yeah. Well, you know, let's see what they have in store for us next. But speaking of in store, I know you've been taking some trips to the store looking for Pokemon cards, which both of us have been kind of trying to collect.
By in store, you mean not? which is mostly the case for anything new. Yeah. How has that been going for you?
Well, you know, I don't want to be the one that has to get up at 6 a.m. to go get these cards, because even though I like collecting cards, I do value sleep. So a lot of times I've been ordering them online and, you know, getting them shipped to me. But I know people have been camping out GameStop, them camping out Best Buy, at Costco, just to get a hand, just to get their hands on these new sets, which, I mean, is cool. Because, you know, back in the day, people would do that for like the new Call of Duty is coming out. People do a midnight release and they would camp. But now, unfortunately, a lot of scalpers are part of the people waiting in line, and they're kind of ruining the hobby for other people, because people just want to collect cards. So a lot of these people have kids and they want their kids to enjoy the things that they enjoyed as kids. But unfortunately, these scalpers have kind of taken over, and they have unlimited money, it seems, to spend on these things, and then they make a bunch of money off of it.
Yeah, you know, they just casually sell everything for double to triple the price of MSRP. Yep, and people buy it.
Yep.
For some reason.
Yeah, I think some people are just, it's the same reason people buy a lot of those games, that people are like, well, we should stop buying these games until they fix the issues. And people still drop $80 on Call of Duty, even though it's this exact same game that it's been for a very long time.
Yeah. Or, you know, the $500 RE skin.
You know, if you have $500 to spend on it, I hope you have better things to do.
Right? Like, please. For your own sake.
I hope you're a trust fund baby at that point. Like, I hope it wasn't rent money and you just want to one up your friend, but now you don't have somewhere to play the game because you don't have a roof over your head.
Yeah, we can only hope.
Yeah. But new sets coming out. I know a lot of people had qualms with the new Prismatic Evolutions that came out because the hit rate was not good.
Oh, it's abysmal.
Yeah.
It's horrid. And
people have been shooting for the Umbreon, but they've been shooting their bank accounts pretty hard trying to get that Umbreon, and a lot of them have opened 200 packs plus, and so I've not gotten an Umbreon.
Yep. Yeah, it's, I mean, and the bigger problem with that, and the main reason people are shooting their bank accounts, is because, well, you can't find it unless it's at a local game store, and the local game stores are selling it way above MSRP. They should be like $60 or something like that, and you sell them for $110, $125. It's like, I'm not going to do that. If this was like a six-year-old product, sure, maybe, because that's not being printed anymore. Like, that actually makes sense. This just came out, and they even announced that they're going to reprint more to combat the fact that, you know, everything's getting scalped. So it's like, I'm not going to spend. I went out day of release and just barely managed to snag one ETB. There was nothing like valuable in it, but also it was still fun because I got it.
Yeah. You know,
it now, but you know, that's what mattered, was just trying to get it, have the opportunity to go out, check a couple of stores, found it at the last Walmart. They were just stocking it, gave them their space to stock it, and then got in line and grabbed one. Everyone, fortunately, my experience was very good. Everyone there split it evenly. So there wasn't just one guy who came in and grabbed everything and bought it all and kept everyone else from getting it. So it worked out in that way.
Yeah. I hope stores, I know some stores have started to put like a limit of two per person, but some stores have not, and they don't care because they're making money either way. And people come in with a shopping cart full of Blooming Waters 151 collection and then go sell every single pack for $15 to $20 online, and which people will buy, unfortunately. But that's just what the hobby is now. They've kind of put people off on what used to be a very fun thing to do and collect Pokemon cards. Now it's just a business venture for some people. But hopefully in the future things change and there are some rules set in place for
these things to get avoided. Turn them into the dirt and just get people to chill out a little bit.
Yep. Because a lot of people just want the cards, right? Like, I know you and me have talked about it. Like, would we love an Umbreon? Sure. But we're also looking for the cards that look good. Like, there are a lot of cards that are very nice art on them. A lot of artists have put a lot of time into them. But due to this kind of weird thing going on with the availability of cards and the hit rates, some of the nicer looking cards have kind of been forgotten. And people kind of just, what I've heard is they don't do bulk. Which I think is an unfortunate part of collecting, because you're just buying things for a specific card and you're trashing all of them, which is wasteful in itself. But
yeah,
part of the collecting is to collect cards. Like, it doesn't matter if it's worth $100 or a dollar. It's a card you're collecting. It's a collector's item.
I'm looking to grab. I ordered, although I had some issues with it, the huge Giga Binder from Vault-X so that I can start collecting and see if I can get one of every, one of each Pokemon, basically.
Yeah.
And then kind of upgrade those cards over time. The one I ordered is missing two pages. So it puts it at only being able to hold 1,024 cards, which there's 1,025 Pokemon currently. So I had to contact their support. Hopefully they get back to me tomorrow, because I contacted them on Saturday. I just got it. So we'll see how that goes. But and that makes all of those bulk cards actually worth going through and finding, because there are some Pokemon that don't have any of the SIRs or SARs or anything of that matter. With Prismatic, I think Buddy got printed in Prismatic, and that's the first time Buddy's been printed in a while, if I remember correctly. I think that Pokemon has only been in like two or three sets total, basically. Wow. Something like that, thereabouts. So it makes all of those usually just immediately tossed in the garbage cards. Not tossed in the garbage, but you know what I mean. Like, tossed in a bulk pile to not really be cared about. A little bit more valuable. So I'm having fun trying to start that out, though I need the binder to work.
Yeah. And Josh kind of mentioned it, but it is a Giga Binder. Like, it is a massive binder.
Oh, it's huge here. Hold on, I have a binder.
Yeah. Let's give Josh a second to grab it, because that is the Giga Binder. And for those just listening in, it is bigger than Josh's head. It's can hold what you said, 1,020.
It's supposed to hold 1,088. That is missing two pages and can only hold 1,024.
Yeah, which is one off the complete set.
Correct, which is mildly upsetting, because I really wouldn't have cared if it wasn't the full 188 or 1,088. But unfortunately, the way it ended up, it's one short. And so I just can't. It's like, this will not serve the purpose I wanted it to. Will I keep it if they let me and then get a new one? Yes. Because then I have an extra binder that I can use for whatever I want to use it for. But we'll see. It's a bit of a mess. I'm kind of, to me, stocks are raising, not literally in monetary purposes, but for anyone who wants to have fun on the Japanese cards. Versions of every set. So Battle Partners is the new one that came out a couple weeks ago. Not only are the card art beautiful, but you're more likely to get hits in those booster boxes because they're guaranteed.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then two, they're usually cheaper and the cards individually aren't as expensive because they're more, they're less rare because you're more guaranteed to get cards. And so as people who are just having fun collecting and not necessarily in it for a monetary value, though it is fun to see big number when you pull a card.
Yeah.
It's just like, this is more efficient. This is less bank breaking and painful.
Yeah. Yeah. And it gives you the, like you said, the guaranteed kind of give you, like, you feel like you got something out of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of keeps you going. And it, the Japanese cards have better art than English cards, if people didn't know that. Like, the art just quality is better. They look better. I know somebody posted a recent video about the Bubble Mew with the holo, and you could see a clear difference in how much better the Japanese card look for the Bubble Mew. Cause
yeah, the print quality is just so much better.
Yeah. Yeah, quality control is better. Print quality is better. And I think, you know, Pokemon originated in Japan, so it is coming from the original site. And it's kind of fun to collect cards that, you know, aren't just English. They're in a different language. I know some people are buying Korean and Chinese packs, which, speaking of Chinese packs, I think they're starting to get really popular, but they're smart and they just printed them to the ground because they just want people to collect.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard a bit about the Chinese packs. I'm curious to see how that goes, because that may be another market for people to get cards from that isn't getting scalped permanently. Though it'll be sad if the Western Pokemon card collecting thing is just collecting cards from other countries because we can't get anything because people are scalping it. But eventually that should balance out, hopefully.
Yeah. And I know, like, with the Chinese sets, they're releasing specific cards. Like, there's a Pikachu card that's only specific to the Chinese set, which I think they're trying to get people to open up to other avenues in other countries. And I know if that happened, like, the Chinese market is obviously, there's a lot of people that are interested in Pokemon there. And that's something they're trying to figure out. And I'm sure it's going to become a big market once they start releasing, like, Chinese specific cards that people want.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. If they get a hold of something, they tend to be one of the biggest spenders, usually. As the market, every anything is trying to sell to, essentially.
Yeah. So we'll see. And I know you're hoping to get some cards on your recent trip. So hopefully,
my upcoming,
for my upcoming trip, he's going to try to get them from the original source in Japan. So he's going to scour the stores down there and hopefully find some gems down there. And then we'll kind of talk about what we opened and what things look like out of those packs, and, you know, how the experience was of buying cards in Japan.
Oh yeah, that's going to be super interesting, especially given I'm learning it, but I'm not super, obviously I don't have easy ways to practice because I'm not huge on talking to people I don't know. So I've just been studying. And we'll see how it goes when I get there. But that's one of the big things, other than obviously experiencing. It's not really I'm going for Pokemon cards. I had actually planned this before I got back into Pokemon cards. But it's like a side objective while we're there doing a thing.
Yeah,
obviously going to the Pokemon Cafe, going to the Kirby Cafe, doing a couple of other things we've got planned. We're going to DisneySea, going to Universal Studios, not going to Nijigen Nomori this time. So I don't get to zipline into Godzilla's mouth. Not this time, but yet. I will be back.
Next time, for sure.
Next time it's happening for sure. That it will be something I will not budge on next time. But yeah, we've got a very loose plan to just kind of explore the cities. We're going to Tokyo, Osaka, and Kyoto. So we'll mostly just be wandering around, checking places out.
Yeah, well, I hope you have a great trip and enjoy and really take in the culture, because it's a great culture to experience, and I hope everyone gets a chance to go to Japan one day and kind of, because the people there are very nice, they're amazing, and very polite people, and the culture is very rich, and there's a lot to see down there, and they have bullet trains, which, you know, being in America, we don't.
Well, I mean, we've been trying to build one for how long? Forever? 40 billion years, basically.
Yeah, I think we'll be dead before America gets a bullet,
Probably.
right?
Probably, unfortunately.
We have bullets and we have trains, but no bullet train.
I mean, it depends. I mean, you can combine those in any way, right? And it counts.
If I could ride a bullet as a train, sure. Maybe one day. Who knows what AI could do in the future?
True.
Okay. Well, segueing into our next topic, I know you've played WoW in the past, but you said it was after Classic.
Yeah, I started playing around Wrath of the Lich King Cataclysm.
Okay, gotcha. So I knew everyone sort of knows World of Warcraft because it's such a massive game in the gaming community, but I never got into playing Classic WoW. I did play Frozen Throne. I think I did play Warcraft 3 at one time. But I've been recently watching the OnlyFangs. And for people that don't know, OnlyFangs is a guild that was started by Soda Poppin. And he invited a bunch of streamers on Twitch and YouTube. And a lot of them had never played the game before. But the whole point of it was to get people that didn't know anything about World of Warcraft to do a raid and do multiple raids and get to experience that as a group. Obviously, with that being said, you have the sweats and what they call the non-sweats. Sweats, really know the game really well. They're very specific about things to do. They know how to level fast. They know what items are good and what's not. And the non-sweats are people like coming from League of Legends or other games that don't know what's going on. And one of the bigger people that they drew was Tyler One, who has a big following on League of Legends. And he knows of World of Warcraft, and he played it a little bit in the past, but never to this extent. And people were praying for his downfall throughout his experience. But everyone was surprised when he got to level 60 on hardcore, which is, the goal that most people shoot for, is getting to level 60 so you can go and participate in the big raids. And he ended up beating Soda Poppin, who was the guild war chief, in a 1v1 duel and became the war chief. And this is somebody that doesn't know a lot about World of Warcraft, but Soda Poppin lost. And Tyler One
What?
became war chief. And there was a lot of drama because it is a content guild. If there's no drama, I don't think a lot of people would watch. But Livestream Fail and Reddit loved. They were eating up the drama, me included. Every day was a new drama thing going on. But there was a lot of decisions made that people didn't like, and it basically turned into a reality TV show.
As it does with
And
streamers, I feel like.
and I'm sure some of them instigated it. I know Sardako, if people don't know about him, he loves creating and instigating people. And you'll see him on stream say something very controversial and then pan over to his own camera and smile because he knows what he's doing. His chat knows what he's doing. And he was like, and then he'll say it too. He'll be like, oh, this is just for content. But he'll definitely piss people off, and people are genuinely pissed. But they did their first raid with Soda Poppin. They lost a few people, but they finished the raid with a lot of
Okay.
non-sweats. I think they were allowed up to 10 sweats, and then the rest of the 30 were supposed to be non-sweats.
Oh, so they're not separated into two different guilds. They're all one, and just everyone has to get along. Question
Yeah,
mark.
so you have sweats and non-sweats raiding together. They're going to dungeons together. They're farming mats, which I didn't know meant just materials, together. And a lot of times they would get upset when a non-sweat would get an item they really needed to level up, and a non-sweat didn't know what to do with it. But they won it fair and square. But people tried to ninja steal things, and they tried to duel them to the death, things like that. But their first raid, yeah, it was 10 sweats and 30 non-sweats. They had some people die. It went well overall, I think. Soda Poppin is about to lose his mind, but
To the people that died.
It was unfortunate, but as people who, as a guild that had a lot of non-sweats in it, it was expected that people would not know what to do when, things hit the fan. And that's and Soda Poppin, after the first raid, he was like, "That's what I wanted." He was like, "I don't want." He's like, "Nobody wants to watch a perfect speed run raiding like people do with 30 warriors and like pocket healers."
At least not more than once, for sure.
Yeah, it would be very boring to watch. But watching people die after spending hours and hours and days on end to get to level their character to 60 and then dying, people are like, "Oh my God, so and so died." Oh my God, so and so died. And then people would go into Sherlock Holmes mode and be like, "Oh, this person didn't press this at this exact second, and this is why they died." People are like, this person doesn't even know half the keys on their keyboard because they never play this game, which, is impressive for some of them to make it through the raid not dying. But it's definitely fun. It got me into wanting to play it. I don't know if I'm gonna do it for sure. I feel like I would want to have a good group of people to play with. But who knows? Maybe in the future, we could do a raid and have some of our friends join us, and then we can all die together because I doubt we're gonna make it very far.
I mean, yeah, you talk about it enough, they're just gonna come back and I'm gonna want to play it.
I have learned a lot about World of Warcraft just from watching it.
Oh,
And
sure.
the crazy part is I'm saying certain abbreviations, which, I would never say in public, but I was like, "Oh yeah, use your FAP." And apparently that's called the free action potion. But when you hear them, all they hear are like, "Can I FAP? Can I FAP?" And I'm like, "I don't know, can you?" but apparently, things like that are
Right.
important to know when you're playing.
Yeah.
And mats means material, GFPP means greater fire protection potion. There's greater shadow, protection potion. And I wouldn't have never known all of this. Like, if I went into the game blind, I think it would have taken me way longer to learn a lot of these things and know what's good and what's not if I wouldn't have watched them. So I think they are drawing a lot of people to the WoW community. And I think that's good for World of Warcraft, just for more fresh people to come in, kind of experience the game, and then go from there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure at this point you, because I'm not watching any of this, because I don't have the patience for a lot of the people involved, and it's just not my kind of content. I'm sure at this point you've probably learned more than I ever knew playing it as a kid, bumbling around like a little doofus, not in hardcore, not in classic, just playing the game for fun. Getting to max level and then realizing I can't do any of the raids because I'm not in any guild that matters. I really haven't seen most of the raids in general. So, I mean, it definitely makes it sound intriguing. It's like, oh, that'd be fun. But then the idea of playing a hardcore character that I've been farming on and playing for however long, and then I mess up and it just dies and I lost all that. Like, I don't know if I have enough time to feel okay with that.
It's very disheartening as somebody who is working and when you come back home, you're playing for a few hours to level up your character, as opposed to a lot of the streamers who do this for a living and they can play 8 to 10 hours a day and level up the character. Some of them have multiple characters to level up, so they don't feel as bad as losing characters, but I totally understand. I feel like if we were to undertake that, hardcore would not be the way to go. Probably have to play a little bit of classic,
Do it,
and kind of.
but I would regret it after the first character, and that may kill my willingness to play the game going forward.
And just like League of Legends, other people can make your character die. So that's even worse. You're like, "I did nothing wrong and I'm dead." Which a lot of people love watching OnlyFans for is because people messing up and causing other people to die. It's something I definitely want to kind of tackle in the future, but we'll see. I know they have a lot of raids coming up. There's some raids I have not watched because there are so many raids that they're doing now. Some people died the day before they were supposed to raid lead, which was hilarious. They were like, oh yeah, you want to be raid leader, and then they died the day before and they have to pick a new raid leader. And then you have sweats leading some raids and nobody dies because they're sweats and they know exactly
Again,
what to lead people.
this life, sometimes people die, I guess.
That's just life. That's just life, man.
Walk out, you stub your toe and die. You accidentally fall down the elevator and implode on the ground. It's just what it is.
It's just what it is, and you just got to learn. You just got to learn to survive, and that's part of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens in the future. Maybe there are more fun abbreviations. I can learn that I shouldn't be singing in public.
I mean,
But
you should give them the context afterwards.
yeah, reaction potion just sounds a lot more to say.
That's exactly. I'm just saying, just it's your coffee, right? That's what it is. You just say, call it a
Yeah.
reaction potion instead, and
Yeah.
everyone will understand, I'm sure, once you explain
Yeah, I could call GFPP GovPup, but
it.
Hey, you got a GovPup? Yeah, I got a GovPup.
Yeah, I don't like that at all. I hate
Yeah.
that. I
Yeah,
hate
see,
that
see,
so much.
it's just something people are just not gonna like. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see. It's one of the fun games. I hope to give it a chance.
Definitely. I think especially since you haven't played it before, it'd be fun. I mean, overall, the world is interesting. The lore is fun. That's what I enjoyed when I was playing it as a kid. All of the raids and challenge and stuff, I never got into as much. I definitely didn't play PvP. I've never been a big PvP person, but it's a good game. It's a fun time. If not, maybe a little archaic at this point to some degree.
Yeah, people love throwing out the, oh my God, you died in a 20-year-old game. They're like, this game has people have been beating this game for 20 years and then you die. But that's the fun part of it, right?
And there's still going to be risk. They got to pay it hard.
Yeah. Well, we talked about a bunch of things, caught up on a lot of things we have missed in the past few months. Talked about games and Pokemon cards we want to collect. Hoping North America and South America, both teams do well in the region in League of Legends and just improve every split. But thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening to me and Josh. It's been good. Sorry for the big hiatus, but we're going to try to keep the episodes more fresh and more recent as we can. And we appreciate you being part of this with us.
Yeah, minus the 1 month break of me disappearing into the ether. Then we'll be back on
Yeah.
it again.
Yeah, it's okay. We're going to have a lot to talk about, a lot to catch up on, and some fun stuff to do at that time. And hopefully people tune in and listen to us. And we appreciate you guys supporting us. All right, that's end of Bongo Boys podcast number two. Thank you and goodbye.
Bye.